job, Dana. Thank you very, very much. Well, children.
Program's dismissed, and the kids can leave, and their leaders. And it's great the church has a program for the children. Romans chapter 12, please.
Hey, can we get dismissed?
Pardon me? Romans chapter number 12 tonight. Mulberry, Florida is where we're going. Shepherd Road Baptist Church. It finally came to me. Sometimes in the evening my mind works a little slow. And hopefully it won't do that as I bring this message to you that God spoke to me about. And as I get a little more comfortable here. I don't want to get too comfortable, but a little more comfortable. And Romans chapter 12. I want you to begin with verse number 17. Romans chapter 12, 17 down through 21. And I want to preach on a very, very important word and subject for each one of us who are saved and born again. Very important word. And a word that we fail in so very, very often. And it's not something I'm trying to beat you all up with. Something I want to help all of us, including myself, with tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse number 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Heavenly Father, now I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to honor you and your word tonight. And I pray, Father, it might fall on ears that will apply it to their heart. And I pray your Holy Spirit may have free reign in every heart. And Lord, I pray if there's folks who need to make a decision about this subject tonight, they'll not be embarrassed in any way to get to this altar and do business with you, this old-fashioned altar. I pray and ask this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about forgiveness, our obligation. Forgiveness, our obligation. I have found out that the word forgiveness appears 121 times in 105 verses in the Bible. So I believe from that forgiveness is very, very important. Fact is, forgiveness is the very foundation of our Christian faith. Without forgiveness, we would not have salvation by faith. There'd be no salvation at all. Without forgiveness, none of us would even be here tonight. Without forgiveness, we wouldn't even know or be headed for heaven. Even though forgiveness is at the very center of our faith, why is it seen to be the one thing we have so much trouble with? I didn't hear no rights or amen then, as I did earlier. Sometimes it seems as if Christians can be the most unforgiving people. When studying the subject of forgiveness, I think the very first thing that we should look at, and the way I've got my outline is, God has forgiven us. Or we can all say amen to that. You know, when God forgave us of our sins, the Bible says He remembered them no more. Can you get excited about that? He remembered them no more. When He forgave us our sins, He remembers them no more. But I have a problem. Satan reminds me of my past sins before I was saved sometimes. Y'all ever have that trouble? This week, that rotten boogeyman reminded me of some things this past week. And I had to remind him to get them out of my mind. They were washed, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll do that. He'll do His best to do that. And sometimes it just seems, Satan does his best to bring those sins back to us when we need to realize they're no more. They're gone. God has removed them from us. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Psalm 103, verse 12. The Bible says they're cast as far as the east is from the west. Somebody real quickly do a little math. Tell me how far that is. It's an infinite number. It can't be measured. As far as the east from the west, the Bible says, God has removed our sins. Malachi 7:19 says, they've been cast to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. Colossians 2:14 says they've all taken out of the way and nailed to the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood for our sins. Isaiah 38:17 says they're all of our sins are cast behind His back. Again, never to be remembered again. This means they no longer exist. When you and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, all of our sins no longer exist. Everything you ever did that was a sin, no longer exists. You know, when I come to Christ and received Him as my personal Savior, I'm so glad that I did not have to remember every sin I ever committed to get saved. I'd still be lost. How about you? But when I come to Christ, I had to confess that I was a sinner. That I was a sinner. And when I confessed I was a sinner, that covered every sin I ever committed. And His blood cleansed me from every sin I ever committed. It washed it, and it's been removed. And what a joy it is to know that. That means it no longer exists. And only God has the ability to take away sins. And when He forgives us, they're actually removed. And this is why the Jews accused Jesus of blasphemy when He said, "Your sins are forgiven. One example is Matthew 9:2. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. What a joy it is, my friends, to realize the day we got saved, everything is washed, gone, forgiven, never to be remembered again. Talk about a new start in life. That's what that is. Well, number two of my outline. We must. The key word here is must forgive others. Now that we've been forgiven, we must forgive others. I want you to turn your Bibles with me back to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to have some places I'm going to ask you to turn. I'll read some scripture, quote some other, and I'll have you turn to some. Matthew chapter 6, please. And we're going to look at verse number 12. This is called the Lord's Prayer, but I'd rather call it the disciples' prayer because of verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Disciples asked the Lord Jesus to teach them to pray. And Jesus taught them how to pray. And certainly Jesus never, ever, ever, my friends, sinned against anyone. And forgive us our debts. What's it say? As we what? Forgive our debtors. Go over to Luke now, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter number 11. And we're going to look at verse number 4. I'll give you a minute to get there. Luke chapter 11, verse number 4. Again, we see Luke's account of when the disciples asked to be taught to pray. Verse number 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive, what's that next word? Everyone that is indebted to us. Now I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're covering every base, all three bases. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 13, Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, here's the example, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Here's what I always try to do. I do my best to do this. Somebody says something, does something that gristles me the wrong way. I do my best that they never know it. And I just forgive them in my heart and go right on. I do my very best to do that. My wife will tell you this is true. It about takes a ball bat to really hurt my feelings. And I think as Christians, we ought to be that. But there's some people wear their feelings on their sleeves. Some people are just always hurt and always upset. And we cannot live that way, my friends. When we forgive others, we don't actually remove the sin like God does, but we imitate God by refusing to remember the sin. Now, I know that's hard to do. But here's the key, my friends. When we refuse to remember the sin that someone did against us, we don't bring it up again. You know, Cara was so nice to me here, 10 days ago or so, took me fishing. Cara, I had such a nice time fishing with you. We caught some bass, didn't we?
A good time to you, too.
Yes, sir. But I want you to know, I still haven't forgot what you said about me last year. There's people like that. There's people say that, too. When you forgive someone, you never bring it up to them again. But then, some people not only bring it up again. Hey, Larry. Did I tell you what Carl said about me last year?
I don't remember.
Well, I want to tell you what he said. So, not only do you not bring it up to the person that you forgave, you don't go around telling other people either. Now, I'll tell you the key. People who will go tell other people about their offense will only tell the person they know that will listen. And usually the person will listen. Larry will go tell somebody else. They know he'll do that. But see, we don't do that, my friends. We need to forget. How do you forget? By not bringing up the person again, by not telling anybody else, and by not reliving it in our own minds. We forget it. Forget it. Can you forget it? Yes, you can. There's been several times in my life when I can remember I had a problem with that person. What was it? I don't remember what the problem was. I had a problem with them last year. What was it? I don't even remember what it was. Why? Because I have forgotten it. I've not dwelled on it. It's in the past. It's gone. And you could do the same thing. This sounds like a fairly easy thing to do. But we do have such a hard time doing it. And I know I do too at times. Why is it? Because of this stuff here. It's called the flesh. Because of our flesh. Because we want to punish those who hurt us. Look back at our text at Romans 12. Look at verse number 17. Romans 12, 17. I need to get back there. I'm still in Colossians. Romans 12, 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, man's heart is sinful, and the first thing that he desires to do is to strike back when he is hurt or violated. Someone hurts him, someone cheats, someone lies, something does something to him, he wants to do it back. My wife's been taking physical therapy. Here a while back, I had a decent parking spot in physical therapy there across from Florida Hospital. And it's hard sometimes to get a parking spot. And I was close to where they pull in. And I was getting ready to go out, but I didn't want to go out that way. I wanted to go out this way back here and get gas at the gas station. As I was getting ready to back out, this guy pulled in, and he wanted my spot. He pulled over here where I was trying to back out. Because he wanted me to go that way. But I didn't want to go that way. I wanted to go this way. And he didn't want to pull up to let me back. He's bringing somebody back here to get the spot. So we kind of come to a standstill. Now, if you remember the last time I preached, I said something about I'm a little different behind the wheel. And finally, a lady in the back raised her hand and admitted she was too. While most of you looked down. I wasn't going to move because I wanted to go that way. And finally, he pulled up just a little bit, and he jumped out of his car. And when he jumped out of his car, my flesh riled up within me, and my hand was ready to grab that door handle. But the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me, and I didn't do it. Amen? But you know, that's where our flesh is. Our flesh wants to retaliate. It wants to rear up. Now, he was tall. He wasn't young, though. Seriously, I know better. Headlines in the paper. Preacher thrashes old man in parking lot. I can see it right now. Seriously, don't our flesh do that? Least little violation in our flesh so quickly wants to retaliate. But I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that intervenes, that helps us. Look over with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm no different than anyone else. I live in this body of flesh as well. Verse number 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. To any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to, what's that next word? All men. That includes the unsaved. To all men. Because we think so highly of ourselves, and I'm talking about me as well, that we think we need to reestablish our position. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you're talking to? Who do you think you're jumping out of your car with? This is caused by pride that's still left in our hearts. And we don't have enough faith to let God handle the situation, so we try to handle it ourselves. How many times must we forgive someone for sinning against us, for hurting us? Peter asked Jesus the same question, applying the person only deserves so many chances. What was the reply of Jesus? We give him a number of infinity, 70 times 7. Another good answer would be, you forgive the other person as many times as God has forgiven you. Number 3, this is so important. Think hard about this. I know it's hot in here. Try to ignore that and think hard about this. What does unforgiveness do to us? What does it do to us? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. What does unforgiveness do to us? I appreciate and love Carl and the Lord and Larry as well. I've had good fellowship with him. Larry and us play golf together, and I don't want anybody to think for a minute I have a problem with either one of them. I love them both in the Lord and consider them good brother and friend. But what does unforgiveness do to us? Matthew chapter number 6, look at verse number 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you know what it's like to live with unforgiveness? We talked about entering into salvation by faith with all our sins forgiven. But now as Christians, 1 John 1:9 applies. Amen? If we confess our sins, he's faithful to just forgive us sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the walk of a Christian. We're not perfect. We still sin. But now the chain has been broken, my friends, from Satan. Now we are free to walk in righteousness with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, but we're still in the flesh. We still want to grab the door handle sometimes. We still, my friends, get caught up in things. We still have to turn to God and get to the altar and ask for forgiveness for things. We still sin. We are not perfect. And we need to ask for forgiveness, my friends. And we need to forgive those who sin against us in order to have our sins forgiven as Christians. Look with me to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11, please. This is a Bible study as well of me preaching. I can't just have a Bible study without preaching. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. When ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Sin is a weight. Do you believe that tonight? I never realized the weight I was carrying until the day I got saved. I felt like I was 100 pounds lighter when I left that church the day I got saved. I never realized the weight of sin. And my Christian friend, if you are unforgiving and you're holding things against another Christian and you're not forgiving to them, you're carrying weight with you. Because God will not forgive your sins. What does unforgiveness do to us? It keeps us in bitterness. We keep turning over and over this hurt in our mind and always keeping it fresh, always ready to strike out again. Boy, I've seen people that way. It's a vicious circle in our minds. A bitter person is always angry about something. How many of you have ever worked with the public? Let me see your hands. How many of you agree with me? You've met a lot of unhappy people. Sure. And you know why? Because they keep anger and bitterness going all the time. They're always mad about something. You mess up just a little bit, and they'll let you know it in a heartbeat. They're not forgiving. They're angry. They're mad. And they're very, very unhappy. It's a vicious circle. What does unforgiveness do to us? It keeps us in bondage to past mistakes. If we don't forgive, we're always living in some past hurt. Some people live in hurts that are 20 years old. I've met them. I met them. And they talked to me in the past as a pastor. They come to me and talk to me about something, and I think it's last week. And I find out it was 20 years ago somebody did something to them. 20 years! Unbelievable. They constantly relive it in their minds. They never seem to get free from the anger, even when they want to. They relived it and hashed it out in their mind so long, they cannot get free from it. What does unforgiveness do to us? It keeps us in guilt. It keeps us in guilt. A Christian who lives in bondage of unforgiveness is always living in guilt. He knows that he must forgive, but he also knows he doesn't want to. I should, but I'm not going to. I should, but I don't want to. He carries the weight around with him, not being able to get rid of it. It shows up in fellowship. It shows up in worship. It shows up even in pleasure. You've been around people that are never happy. You've been around Christians that are never happy. I've been around Christians that I I don't know if they really have any teeth. They never smile. They never laugh. They sit on their chair or in their pew the whole service. They pick up a hymnal. Their lips barely move. They're like they're not even in the service. They're unhappy. They're miserable. Why? My goodness gracious, we are the sons and daughters of God. The Holy Spirit lives within us. My goodness gracious, we ought to be so excited to know there's a place reserved for us in heaven. As we walk through this life, we never walk alone. Why can't we get excited about that? Instead of sitting there with the mully grubs. I don't understand it, my friends. Except to say, there's a lot of unforgiveness and unhappiness that goes with it. What does unforgiveness do? It can cause serious problems, physical problems. It can cause ulcers. Did you know that? It can cause ulcers. It can cause mental problems. Sustained anger can cause you to be mentally sick. That's been proven. Not alone, and I should have made this first, spiritual problems. Because unforgiveness will cause you to drift from God. The longer you hang on to unforgiveness, the further you will drift from God. So number four, how do we forgive someone that's hurt us so badly? How many people, now this is a raise your hand moment. How many of you ever heard someone say, I could never forgive them? Nearly everybody here has raised their hand that they've heard somebody say, I could never forgive them. Isn't that sad? So what I'm preaching tonight's true. How do we forgive someone that's hurt us so badly? We're back in our text in Romans. I want us to look at verse number 20. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Somewhere here in my Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. We stop thinking of those who hurt us as enemies when we start to honestly seek God for their good. That first step of doing that is difficult. There has been a time or two in my ministry, and preachers have people that shoot at them. I assure you of that. And I know your pastor, he's never told me of anything, but I know you don't have to be in ministry too long. You have people shoot at you. And the devil throws fiery darts, but people pick them up sometimes and throw them as well. But when you begin to honestly seek God for somebody's good, my friends, you begin to look at them different. You really do. We need to earnestly pray for blessings in their lives. I'll tell you, that has turned around my attitude towards more than one person when I begin to pray that God will bless them. Now, you don't pray like this. Now, dear God, you know what they've done to me. I pray, Heavenly Father, you convict them of what they've done and get them to... No, you don't do that. You pray that God will bless them. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you bless their life. You bless their family. Lord, I'm sure they have needs. I pray you meet those needs in a special way. and earnestly pray for them like you would a friend. And my friends, that could make all the difference. It's very difficult to be angry or unforgiving towards someone who you are earnestly praying for. You know, we look to God for our example. Could you forgive someone who killed your only son? Now, I realize the Roman soldiers did not kill Jesus. That's what they set out to do. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave his own life on the cross. That's why they're so surprised he died so quickly. He gave up his life for us, even as it was prophesied. He does not allow the sin to be remembered anymore. We look to Jesus for our example, 1 Peter 2, 21 and 23, through 23. What did Jesus say when he was hanging on the cross, when he was experiencing the worst pain a person could experience, when his blood was dripping from his hands and his flesh was tearing at the nails? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We cannot imagine the pain and suffering he had before he even got to the cross, before he even nailed there, before the cross was even risen. And he was hanging there trying to breathe. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what we do, what they do." And my friends, the Bible tells us more than one time that he is the example that we are to follow after. And who are we to ever say, "I could never forgive them"? Who are we to ever say that? Who are we to ever hold a grudge against anyone and be unforgiving? We must forgive everyone of everything that's ever done to us. If Jesus could forgive those who were attempting to kill him, we must forgive those who merely hurt us. It was our sins that nailed Jesus to that tree, your sins and my sins. And we serve a forgiving God. And the root of love is forgiveness, my friends. And if we love God, we must follow that root of forgiveness. How we view forgiveness will affect our relationship with him and with those around us. How we view forgiveness, my friends, will affect our level of spirituality. If we wish to be spiritually healthy, if we wish to be free of condemnation, we must forgive those who hurt us. My question to you tonight is, do we need to experience the forgiveness of God tonight? If you can come to him in faith, accepting the finished work of Christ on Calvary as the atonement of sin, are you saved? Are you born again? You can know that wonderful forgiveness. If you've never been saved, you can be saved tonight. Do you need to demonstrate, my friends, the forgiveness of God today? Do you need to break the bonds of unforgiveness tonight and be ready to forgive those who have hurt you that you've not forgiven yet? Ephesians 4:32. "And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as Christ hath forgiven you." It might be a family member. It might be a neighbor. It might be a church member. Whoever it might be, will you be willing to forgive them tonight? Let's stand together, please. Folks, we have an altar. This is an altar. This is a place to make decisions based upon the message you've heard. And if God has spoken to you tonight, don't be ashamed to come to the altar. There's chairs here if you can't kneel. If God spoke to you, you need to come. Do business with God. I'm going to come down to the front tonight. If you'd like to me to pray with you, I will. They'll turn the mic off. You don't need to confess anything to me at all. Nothing. But if you'd like for me to pray with you, I will. We'll be down the front. If you're not saved, let me know, and we'll gladly take the Bible and show